Good morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin. We find ourselves today on the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vavam and Beis on the bottom of the Amud. Here in the 22nd parak of the Masechta, we have one more full day of the parak. We finished the parak Mirz Hashem on Shabbos. This parak, although the topics of this parak has been somewhat scattered, but it all has to do with food, various topics regarding food, and our Mishnah is not an exception. The Mishnah begins. No, some tafshel l'socha bor b'shvil she'e shamor. So a person can take a cooked food and put it in a pit in order so that it preserves. The heat is preserved. Rashi says shalo yasriach machmas achom. It doesn't get dirty, doesn't get disgusting because of the heat. So that means to say that you're going to put it in there, so there'll be some sort of preservation of the food. That would be fine. Additionally, says the Mishnah, one could take good water, clean water, and put it in bad water in order so that it cools down. Now that means to say that you're not going to be pouring the good water into the bad water, because once you do that, so then the water is not going to be salvageable. What it means is that you're going to be taking a pot of water or a bowl of water, and you're going to be putting it in another body of water. The body of water is not drinkable, but it's very cool, and it's going to cool the water in the pot. And that would be fine as well. And also cold water you can put directly in the sun in order that it warm up. This is a point that we made already much earlier in the Masechta, that you're allowed to heat things up in the sun. There was a distinction that was made earlier in the Masechta between cooking something in the sun versus cooking something in the derivative of the sun. That's chama versus toldos chama. But as long as you're cooking something directly in the sun, so that would be mutar and Shabbos. So to take the water, the cool water, and to directly heat in the sun, so that would be considered, that's chama, and that's going to be mutar. And our Mishnah over here is a wonderful review of that point that we made much earlier in the Masechta. Mishan ishru kelav b'derech b'mayim, mahalach mehem me'in achoshesh. Let's say you are walking in the rain and your clothing got soaked. So the Mishnah says, so you can keep walking, meaning there's no need to take off your clothing, even though your clothing is saturated with water. And he gila chatzar chitzona, but once you get to the outer chatzar, shotcham b'cham avlo keneged ha'am. So now you're going to want to take your clothing off, and you're going to want to put them out to dry. As long as you do them in a discreet place, that's going to be fine. But you cannot do it in a public area. Putting them out in a public area is going to give the impression to people that you dry them immediately after having laundered them. Laundering obviously would be a chilul Shabbos. And so therefore, you cannot put them out in the public area. Certainly sounds like from the Mishnah, the issue over here is marasayin, meaning you obviously didn't launder the clothing. All you did is just get caught in the rain. But to put them out in the public area, that would be a violation of marasayin. But then the Mishnah also sounds like, but if you do it privately, so that would be fine. The Gemara is going to point out that this is not a position that's agreed to by everybody. Because generally speaking, when it comes to marasayin, we have a general position, which is that when the Chachamim prohibited something because of Marasayin, they prohibited afilu b'chadre chadarim, even in the private area as well. Our Mishnah seems to be inconsistent with that position, so in just a couple of minutes from now, the Gemara is going to tackle that issue. Okay, so a number of issues come up in the Gemara, first of all, about making sure that the food is kept over Shabbos, and cooking in the sun. Those are the first three topics that are covered in the Mishnah. They seem to be pretty straightforward topics, and whenever we have every single Mishnah throughout Shas is trying to teach us a chiddush. It's trying to teach us something novel. And so when you see halachas like this mentioned in the Mishnah, so obviously the Mishnah is there to teach us something, and that's immediately what the Gemara is going to tackle. So Pshita, the Gemara says, okay. So the first issue, and that is that all you're doing is taking a pot and putting it in a pit, and what could possibly be the potential pitfalls of putting something in the pit? Okay. So ma'u detema. Nigzer mishum ashvei guma. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the problem is, and that is that when you're putting a pot in the pit, so it could very well be that the pot has a wide base to it, and it could be that the pit's got an uneven bottom to it, and so therefore you would be you'd be in violation of smoothing the bottom, or that could possibly be the problem. So kamash malan. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we're not concerned about that. Certainly, it's not your intention. It's not definitively going to happen. I imagine the Kamash Malan of the Gemara over here is that this is a Davashin of Miskavin. It's certainly not a Psik Resha, and so therefore it's going to be Mutter. Vesamayim Yafim Barayim. Now, taking water that is good water, meaning in a bottle, and running it through a river, a bad water. So, and all you're interested in doing is just cooling down the water, so that's going to be fine. Pshita, the Gemara says that's also obvious as well. And there doesn't seem to be chiddush over there. So the Gemara says, sefer tzirichle. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, in that case of the Mishnah, there's really not much to be taught over there, but it's the next part of the Mishnah, which is, it's basically a setup line of the Mishnah for the next point of the Mishnah. V'esatzon bechama. So the Gemara says, and one could take cool water and put it directly in the sun. Hanami pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that case obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'od detema negzer dema asil atmun v'remetz. Because what you're doing now is basically you're heating up water. And so one could imagine that if I'm allowed to heat up water on Shabbos directly through the sun, well, people are not going to be able to really see the difference between heating it up in the sun versus putting it in coals. So, and maybe the Chachamim would make a gzera. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that the Chachamim do not make a gzera. And that heating something directly in the sun would be mutter, but heating something directly in coals is going to be aser. People understand that. People know that. And the Chacham felt that there was no need to make any kind of gzera on such a scenario. And we are now up to the last point of the Mishnah, which is that if you're walking home and you get caught in the rain, and by the way, it's not just the rain, meaning, or let's say you walk through a very deep puddle and your clothing is wet, whatever the case is, your clothing got soaking wet. So the Mishnah says is that you can hang it up to dry, but in a private area, not a public area. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. So we're going to start off with the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, which comes up a number of times throughout Shas. Which is called Makum Shasru Chachamim, name Marasayin. Anytime the Chachamim prohibited something because of the concern of the appearance that it gives, Afilu B'Chadre Chadarim, it's true, not only in a public area, but even a private area as well. Afilu B'Chadre Chadarim, Masr. And so, obviously, the Gemara over here is basically setting ourselves up for a question. I mean, the Gemara doesn't even articulate the question, but the problem is obvious. Meaning, our Mishnah over here seems to go against the rule of Rav. Because our Mishnah says that drying the clothing up in a public area, that's a Marasayin issue. Meaning you're giving off the appearance that you laundered on Shabbos. You didn't launder on Shabbos, but you're giving off the appearance that you did. So that's Marasayin. But then the Mishnah says, but what you can do is you can hang it up in a private area. Right? In an area lo keneged ha'am. If it's a private area where people don't see, so that you're allowed to do. So this goes against the Shita of Rav. Now, so that's obviously very difficult. So Tanan. Shotchan b'chama v'lo k'neged ha'am. So the Gemara just simply quotes our Mishnah, and obviously Rav seems to be going inconsistently with our Mishnah. So Tanai, the Gemara points out, it's true, but it also is a machlokes ha'tanayim. The Tanya will learn Tanai b'raisa. Shotchan b'chama v'lo k'neged ha'am. So in the b'raisa, the Shitas Tanakama is that you are allowed to hang up your wet clothing in a private area, just as long as people don't see, meaning as long as it's not a public area. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Ostrim, and the Tanaim of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon say that it's Usr. And when Rav made a statement, he was going within the Shita of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon. Certainly interesting that Rav's position over here is not adopting the position of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama usually reflects the Shita of the Rabbim. Okay, but Rav had a tradition that Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon is the accepted position. That obviously is Rav's Masorah. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, so and that closes that part of the discussion. Fine. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna. We move on now to discussing a couple of other issues related to the caring of clothes. The caring of clothes and the carrying of clothes. So we are starting now on the top of Kufman Zayin Amud Aleph. Hamanar Talisa B'Shab is Chayv Chatas. So let's say you shake off your talis on Shabbos, one is going to be subject to a chiyuv chatas, meaning you're cleaning your clothing. So there is a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi on the very top of the Amud, Amanah or Taliso, you are you're shaking off your clothing. What are you shaking off your clothing? Rashi writes over here, Manalfar, there's dirt on your clothing, and you're shaking the dirt off your clothing. And so Shitas Rashi over here is that even without water. Now we normally assume, we've been saying this already numerous times throughout the Masechta, then when we're talking about kippus, when we're talking about laundering clothing, so without water, we said it's not nisa daraisa. And Rashi over here, such an interesting Rashi. Rashi over here writes that all you're doing is just shaking the dirt off your clothing. And chayev chatas, the next Rashi, zehu libuna, because this is an act of cleaning your clothing when you're shaking off the dirt of your clothing, and therefore it's going to be a chayev chatas. Such an interesting Rashi. Take a look at Tosfos at the top of the Amud. Tosfos says, Perush Rabbeinu Chananel min hatal sha'alav. So Rabbeinu Chananel obviously is not giving the same shot as Rashi. Rabbeinu Chananel says there's dew on the clothing, and you're shaking off the dew. Dehainu kibus, that's laundering. V'liban chayiv chatas. V'chein mashal davidum dechumta de Rav Yosef. And in just a moment, we're going to see the hat of Rav Yosef, where there was water on the hat. Ava benir min afrik, the parish b'kushos, and nirshiyei shayich liban. But if all you're doing is just simply rubbing the dirt off the clothing, shaking the dirt off the clothing, like Rashi says, that's not kivus. There's no water involved. So over here, an interesting machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, in terms of the shaking off dirt off one's clothing. According to Rashi, it's an issur d'oraisa, and according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that's not an issur d'oraisa. Okay, so it's obviously a really interesting machlokes between the Rishonim. Back to the Gemara, v'lo amaran ela b'chadati. And even this idea that you're shaking off your clothing and that's going to be a violation of the Torah that's talking about new clothing. But old clothing, we're shaking it off, it's not going to make any kind of real pronounced difference between before and after the shaking, so then there's not going to be a that wouldn't be a problem. And it only presents a problem when the clothing is black. A little counterintuitive, but the Gemara assumes that the dirt is really going to show on the black clothing. But if the clothing is white, if the clothing is red, so then there's not going to be an isser. The hu decapit alai, and then the Gemara says, and also one other thing, and that is that it has to be something that really bothers you. It's your makbid. And so, generally speaking, you wouldn't go out with such clothing. And the only way that you would present yourself with this kind of clothing is only if you shook it out. So this is really bothersome to you. It really affects you in terms of how you present yourself. So under those circumstances, so then and only then is it going to be an issur d'oraisa. But if it's new clothing and it's black clothing, but you're not makpid, so then it would not be a problem. And the Gemara follows this up with two stories. Story number one, ula ikla lepumbadisa, chazer rabbanan, dekamenatze glamayhu. So Ula, in his travels to Pumbadisa, so he sees that the Talmid HaChachamim over there are shaking off their clothing on Shabbos. Amar kamechalim rabbanan shabbasa. And Ula is having a hard time processing. These are Talmid HaChachamim, and they seem to be violating Shabbos. And Ula just has a very difficult time understanding what's going on over here. So, Amar lehu, Rav Yehuda, nefutzi le ba'ape, ana lo kaptina midi. So, Rav Yehuda says, no, they would do it right in front of you. They would do it to your face. They're not makbid. Meaning, one of the qualifications in order for this to be a violation of Shabbos is that it has to be something that they're makbid about. These people are not makbid. And so, therefore, it does not present an issur. A second story the Gemara tells, Abaye have a kakame de Rav Yosef. Abaye was together with Rav Yosef, Amalei Havli Kumtai. And Rav Yosef says, give me my hat. Chazadiika Tala Allah. And he sees that there's dew on the hat. This is what Tosfos quoted just moments earlier in terms of supporting his position, that what we're describing over here is a shaking off of dew. And he sees that there's dew on the hat. Habakamachsem Lemesvalem. And at this point in time, he was a little bit hesitant to giving it to him. Amalei nefotz shadi ana lo kapdin midi. He says, no, you could shake it off because I'm not makbid. And again, this qualification of hakpada is a very serious qualification. Meaning if the person's not makbid, if he doesn't care one way or another, so shaking off it is not going to be a violation of kibbutz on Shabbos. Okay, so two stories, each one of them pointing to the pointing to this distinction of being makbid. If a person's not makbid, so then there would be no problem shaking it off. And in both stories, the Gemara highlights that the Talmid Chacham and Pumbadisa, and in the second story, Rav Yosef, they weren't makbid, and therefore, you're allowed to shake it off. Okay, that's one halachic issue in terms of the caring of clothing. Over here now, we're going to be discussing a little bit of the carrying of clothing. Am Rav Yosef bar Yosef, Am Rav Yochanan, Hayotze betalas mekupalas munechas lo aktefo b'shabbos chayiv chatas. So let's say you are walking on a Shabbos and you have a garment, it's folded and it's on your shoulder. You're not wearing the clothing, you're carrying the clothing. So if you do this through a Rishus Rabim, so then that is considered an act of carrying, meaning the only allowance on clothing is to wear clothing through a Rishus Rabim. But if you're carrying the clothing, so that would be a violation of Shabbos, that's what's up. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. And this Braisa over here is going to be fully supportive of this idea. The Braisa, it goes through three different scenarios. If I have merchants of clothing who, when carrying the clothing around, the clothing is being folded and carrying another clothing, meaning it's their merchandise. And so they're carrying it around on Shabbos. Chayav chatas. So they're chayav karmen chatas if they were to do that on Shabbos. And it's not just simply the sellers of clothing. Amru, Ella kol adam. Elosh adark and shomochim latzeis kach. We're just giving an example of a group of people who typically would do it, but the truth of the matter is anybody who has clothing folded and put on the shoulder and carrying on Shabbos is going to be chai for carrying. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two of the brayso, the chenvani yosef ben mosa tzurim lo besadino. Let's say you have some sort of money changer, and he's going out on Shabbos with money that's fastened to his belt. He's wearing a money belt with money in the money belt. Chayev chatos is going to be chayev chatos. Now, obviously, the money is muks on Shabbos, but the point of the brayso over here is we're not just describing the issur of muksa, but we're describing the issur of atzah. It's an issur daraisa. And because now he's carrying the money, and you could have made the argument, yeah, but the money in the money belt, that's, you know, that's not carrying. And the brayso's point is, no, that is considered carrying, because that's the way that a person normally carries money, and so therefore that would be nisa daraisa. Now this would be true by anybody, it just happens to be that the chenvani typically carries in such a fashion, but the truth of the matter is, the halacha is that if anyone carries money in such a manner, one would be violating nisa daraisa of carrying. And finally, the last case of the brayso of haratanim, you have people who are shuttling messages from one to another, yotzim besudarim shach tefam. So what they're allowed to do is wear the sudar, wear some sort of scarf on their shoulder. So that means to say that in the third case in the brayso, we're describing a behavior that is allowed, that's acceptable. And that is that you're allowed to wear the scarves on your shoulder. Now the truth of the matter is this would be true by anybody. It just happens to be that we're talking about a group of people who would normally wear a scarf in this manner. Amar of Yehuda Maisa Behorkanus Penosha Rabbi Lazar Ben Horkanus. So Rabbi Yehuda says that there was a story with Horkanus, who was the son of Rabbi Eliezer, who in turn was the son of Horkanus. So that means to say that he was named after his grandfather. Shiyatza besuda shal ktefo b'shabes. Eloshinima krucha lo be'etzba'o. So he went out with some sort of handkerchief around his shoulders. What he did is that he tied one of the threads around his finger in order to make sure that it would not fall off. Rashi writes, "Shelo yipol miktefav," so it doesn't fall off his shoulders. So basically, he anchored it. Ukeshava davar lifnei chachamim amru afilu ein nima krucha lo be'etzba'o. And the chachamim said it's not necessary, meaning wearing some sort of shawl, wearing some sort of handkerchief around your shoulders, that's considered an act of dressing, and therefore there would be no problem with that whatsoever. So in the three cases of the brayso, the first two examples that are given are considered an act of carrying. Having your clothing folded and put on your shoulder, that's not wearing. That's considered carrying. That would be a malacha daraisa. Second example that's given is having had money in the money belt. That's also an act of carrying. And the third example is wearing some sort of scarf around your shoulders. That's not going to be considered an act of carrying. That's considered the normal way of dress. And this idea that the scarf does not have to be anchored onto your finger, the Gemara says that's in fact the accepted halacha. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista darshan so in public that when you're wearing your scarf, it does not have to be anchored to your finger. Ula ikla labe asi barhini bal mine mala sos marzev v'shabbos. More discussions regarding clothing on Shabbos. Is one allowed to make a gutter on Shabbos? Now, as we'll see in just a moment, when we say gutter over here, we're not talking about a gutter that you're making for your house. That obviously would be an issur daraisa. That would be an act of binyan. That would be building. So over here, the marzev is related to clothing. We're going to explain in just a moment how are we making a gutter vis-a-vis your clothing. So amelu hacham Rabbi Eli asal asos marzev b'Shabbos. So before explaining, so first the halacha, and that is you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, what are we talking about? What are you doing on Shabbos that's prohibited? So my marzev amar Rabbi Zera kisi bavlisa. So he says what we're describing over here is basically making a pocket. Or another way to describe it is that you're making a hem. You look at Rashi over here, kisu bavlisa. Rashi writes shemisalkin bigdehem mina aretz kesheina ruchin v'kofel noso kalpe mala. So the clothing is very long and it's dragging on the ground. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take the bottom and you're going to turn it up. You're making some sort of hem. And Rashi gives a word in French to describe it. And Rashi writes, umachzikin osan ayide chutin. Now, how is it being held up? It's held up by strings. Vahinu kimin kis ukamo marzev. So we're describing it as a gutter because now a little bit of imagination. Basically, it's doubled over. It's like a pocket. It kind of looks like some sort of sewer system. Okay, you have to be a little bit creative to see it that way. But anyway, but the point is that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. The stitching itself, obviously, in other words, if you have to stitch it in, so that's tefira, and that obviously would be problematic. So maybe some sort of hooks over there that hold it up. Not clear exactly how you're fastening it, but still the point is that this is going to be something which is prohibited on Shabbos. And Rashi writes over here, why is it prohibited on Shabbos? Because of tikkun mana, because this is the finishing touch to the kli. And again, Rashi, throughout this perek and previous perekim as well, as long as we're talking about a beged, so Rashi over here speaks to makeh bepatish. It's tikkun mana, meaning that the clothing is not yet finished until the hem is there. In other words, the clothing being dragged on the floor is simply considered an unfinished product, and so therefore when you're folding it up and creating this hem, so that would be an act of tikkun mana. Gemara continues on this topic, Rav Yirmiyah have a yasek kamed Rabbi Zera. So Rav Yirmiyah was in front of Rabbi Zera, amalei hachi mai. So he says, what about this? And obviously he was showing him something. So for us, the reader, it'd be wonderful if we actually were there and we saw what he was showing him. So whatever he wanted to try to figure out if there's any kind of way in which it could be folded up. So amalei hachi mai, amalei aser. He says, that's going to be aser. Hachi mai, what if I did it this way? And again, he was showing him something. And amalei aser. And he said, that's going to be aser as well. So basically, there's no way to get around it. Amra Papa Nakoda Klala Biadecha Kola Daita Lichnufe also call Lihisna Oshare. So he says, look, I'm going to give you basically some sort of way to formulate this as a rule. And that is, if your intention is to Lichnufe to fold it, so then it's going to be Asr. But Lihisna Os, it's going to be Mutter. Now, what's the difference between Lichnufe and Lihisna Os? So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says the difference is how long term are we talking about? Rashi writes lechnufe she mesukan tamid lahamid kipulo laolam. Basically, if this hem is there to last forever, so that's going to be aser. But lehis naos says Rashi lefisha'a. If it's only going to be held up for just a little bit of time, so then it's going to be mutter. So Rashi over here describes it as how long are you folding it upwards? If this is a permanent situation, that's tikkun mana. If it's temporary, so then it's going to be mutter. And Rav Shisha Breder of Ida Misna Besadino Hava. And Rav Shisha Breder of Ida was Misna'eh. So he was doing it only temporarily. The Gemara brings in the following episode. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Pamachas Yasa Rabbi Lasada. So there was a time that Rabbi went out to the field. Okay, we have in our Masechta, I don't know how many times, but more than a couple, we have a number of times that Rabbi went out to the field and various halachic considerations were under discussion. So over here on today's daf Kuf Mem Zayin, so we have another episode where Rebbe goes out to the field. And now he was wearing this long robe, this talis, and what he did is he folded it up and he put it on his shoulders. So Amar Lefanav of Yehoshua ben Zeres ben Chamav Shel Rebbe Meir Bezulo Chayv Rebbe Meir Chatas. He says, you know, I think Rebbe Meir under those circumstances would say that you're Chayv Chatas. That's not wearing the clothing. People don't wear the clothing that way. And since it's not the way that's typically worn, so if it's not wearing it, so then what is it? It's a masui. So then it's a burden. And that means to say that if you're walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in this manner, so then you are not wearing the clothing, you're carrying the clothing. And so he says to Rebbe, I don't think you're allowed to do that. So I'm a lay dictic Rebbe Meir, I can. So Rebbe was a little bit bewildered. He says, I can't imagine that Rebbe Meir was medactic up until this point in time, but Shilshal Rebbe Taliso. But what Rebbe did is that he took it and he lowered it. Meaning if Rebbe Meir said it, so then he just simply followed. Ki Asa Ravin. Now, this story is told to us by Rav Dimi. You know the drill. Most of the time when we have Rav Dimi telling us a story or telling us a halacha, usually it's B'Shem Rav Yochanan. But in other words, he's coming in from Eretz Yisrael, he's telling one version. So not far behind him is going to be Ravin. And Ravin's going to tell a somewhat different version of either the halacha, or in this case, the story. So Ravin comes in, and Rava has got some editing to do. Ki asa Ravin Amar, lo Yeshua ben Zeres havaya, lo Yeshua ben Kipusai haya, chasno shel Rabbi Akiva. Amar bezulochi Rabbi Akiva chatas, Amar lo diktik Rabbi Akiva, akan shel shel Rabbi Talisa. So over here, in terms of the editing of the story, so the one that corrected Rebbe was a different Rabbi Yeshua ben Kipusai, who happened to have been the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva, and he was quoting his father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so That's the editing. Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda amar nishal itmar. And in the third version of the story, Rebbe didn't actually fold the clothing up. He was asking whether or not he could fold the clothing upwards. And so this question was posed, and the answer was you can't. But in other words, in the third version, Rebbe did not actually do it before even asking, meaning that Rebbe thought, he considered, that this might in fact be a problem. Takes us to the first half of today's daf. We went through the Mishnah, where most of the topic of the Mishnah was regarding food preparation, notably how to cool water down, how to preserve a dish in a pit, how to cool water down, how to heat water up in the sun. And then the last halach in the Mishnah has to do with what happens when you get home and your water and your clothing is soaked, and what do you do with the clothing when you get home. And the Gemara's discussion up until now, just for a couple of quick lines of the Gemara, we dealt with the food issues, meaning what were the chidushim in the cases regarding the water, but most of the Gemara's discussion revolved around the clothing. We dealt with the issues of marsayin, we dealt with issues regarding carrying of clothing, shaking off of the clothing, carrying clothing, making a hem towards clothing. Okay. We continue now, we're in the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Harochets b'mei ma'ara u'v'mei tveria. A person is bathing in cave water or in tveria water b'nistapeg, and he is drying himself off with a towel. Afilu b'eser an lontios lo yivyem b'yado, and he's doing so with 10 towels. Still, he should not bring them with him, and he should not be using the 10 towels. We're going to explain why in the Gemara. But if there are 10 people, they can all share the same towel. And the Panem Yadim Veragleim Umivim Osam Biyadam. And they are allowed to bring the towels with them. So over here, one person can't use 10 towels. 10 people can use one towel. And that obviously poses a basic question. What's the difference between one person using 10 towels and 10 people using one towel? In fact, if you think about it, one person using 10 towels, they're not going to get so saturated. Meaning the potential problem we can imagine is going to be the problem of schita. In other words, once the towels get wet, so then you're going to be tempted to go ahead and squeeze the towels out. If one person's using 10 towels, none of those towels are going to get overly saturated. And just the opposite, if 10 people are using one towel, someone can imagine that one towel that's used by 10 people is going to get really saturated. So the mission at this point in time is difficult to understand. We're going to wait for the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to shed light in terms of helping us understand the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah goes through an assortment of other halachas. Sachin u'mamashman shin avalomit amlin. Rubbing oil in your skin on Shabbat is perfectly okay. Even gently rubbing the oil in your skin is okay as well. Mit amlin, however, a good massage. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Lomit garin. Let's say basically getting some sort of skin treatment where you're basically scraping off the dead skin. The Mishnah says one's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ein yordin lekar dima. One cannot go into this river. It's basically some sort of spa where the water is very therapeutic, and one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ein osin apiktazin. One is not allowed to use any kind of liquid that is going to induce vomiting, like an epicac, but one is not allowed to do so on Shabbos. The Gemara is going to be discussing that in some detail. Ein ma'atzven es hakatan. Also says the Mishnah, one is not allowed to basically manipulate a young child, basically something like chiropractic manipulation. One is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The Ein Machzir Nesashever. Also, one is not allowed to relocate a dislocated joint. If your joint gets dislocated on Shabbos, so one is not allowed to relocate it. Rashi writes over here, this is an act of refuah, and therefore it is going to be prohibited on Shabbos. We'll get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss it more in the Gemara. Mishinifrika Yadav Raglo Lo Yitchefen Bitzone. If somebody has a dislocated joint, either an arm or a leg, so you can't run them in cold water. However, what you could do is you could do a a general wash of that area, kidarko, v'misrape nisrape. Now, if it happens to be that you're getting some relief from doing that, that's fine. But in other words, but to wash it with the purpose of treating it, so that is going to be problematic. Okay? Obviously, in these last cases of the Mishnah, where we're basically treating issues of broken bones and dislocations, so obviously there's no sakana. The Gemara is assuming, the Mishnah is assuming, that there's no sakana involved. If there's a sakana involved, obviously one is allowed to violate the Shabbos. So, but again, we're going to discuss it more in the Gemara, so let's wait for the Gemara in order to discuss it with any of these halachas with any kind of depth. We start with the Gemara, Ketani Meima Aradumya Demei Tveria. Now, in the case of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah, so we talked about going into a cave water or going into Mei Tveria. Now, we know Mei Tveria is the hot springs of Tveria. So, Mei Tveria Chamen, Af Meima Ara Chamen. So, the Mishnah putting them side by side, so it means to say that just like we know that the springs of Tveria are hot, that's the hot springs of Tveria, so the Mei Ma'ara under discussion also is going to be hot. Now, Harochet, now let's read carefully the first word of the Mishnah, which is describing someone who went ahead and bathed in that water. Now, from that language of the Mishnah, what's the impression that you get? B'di'evit in l'chatzchila lo. Meaning to say that l'chatzchila one is not allowed to bathe in hot water. So, michlal. So, bathing in hot water, even though it's natural hot water, natural hot springs, or in this case, natural cave water, so one is not allowed to bathe in that water lechatzchila. The Mishnah is only talking about a case of somebody who did so b'di'evet, and what to do in terms of toweling off. But lechatzchila, one is not allowed to bathe in that water. So, and mashma, and michlal, and that would seem to indicate, now we turn to the Amud Beis, d'lishatev kugufo afil lechatzchila shapir dami. Now, if you're not bathing in the water, but you're just simply running the water over your body, what we would call a shower, so taking a shower in water, in naturally heated water, not water that was heated, but naturally heated water, so lichatzchila, that would be fine. Now, whose position is that? Money, Rabbi Shimon. So all this should sound familiar because this is the review of a Gemara that we did in Shabbos some time ago, back in the third parak of Masechet Shabbos, all the way back on Daf Lametes. So we discussed this very issue of bathing on Shabbos. Now, you remember that the Chachamim went through stages in terms of allowances of what you can bathe in, what you cannot bathe in. But meanwhile, over here, our Mishnah is adopting whose position? Where that says that you're not lechatchila allowed to bathe in hot water, even if the hot water is naturally hot water. But what you are allowed to do, again, the implication of the Mishnah is that you're allowed to rinse yourself off in that hot water. You could shower with that kind of hot water. So, whose position is that? So that is the Shita Rebbe Shimon. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Lo Yishatef Adam, Bein Becham, and Bein Mitzon, and Divrei Rebbe Meir. Shita's Rebbe Meir is that you're not allowed to shower, not in hot water, not in cold water. Rebbe Shimon gives an allowance to shower in such water, meaning even heated water. Again, we're talking about naturally heated water. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Becham and Asa Betzonei Mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you can't do so in hot water, but you can do so in cold water. So in other words, when you match up the implication of our Mishnah to these three Tanayim, so our Mishnah matches up with the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Now we're getting to the towel. Drying off with a towel. And the Mishnah made a statement which, as we pointed out back in the Mishnah, difficult to understand. One person can't use 10 towels, but 10 people could use one towel. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalan, Sefer Rabusa Kamashmalan. There obviously are chidushim in the Mishnah. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalan, Dafila Hanidol, Nefishim Umaya, Kim Dechadhu, Asi Lidei Schita. And now the Gemara is explaining. And that is that in the first case of the Mishnah where I have one person and he's using 10 towels, and each towel is going to be saturated, but not very saturated. In other words, you know you have another 9 more towels. So each towel is going to be used sparingly, but still, because you're by yourself and no one's there to remind you, so you're going to be tempted to squeeze the towel. And so therefore, the Chachamim made gzera that one person by himself is not allowed to towel off. The Sefer Abusa Kamash Malana Filohane Denefishibu Maya came into Rabim Ninu Midkere Adade. However, if there are other people that are there, so everyone's going to remind each other that it's Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze out the towel. So over here, when there are multiple people that are there, and even though the 10 people that are there are all sharing the same towel, and even though the towel is highly saturated, but they're going to remind each other that at Shabbos you're not allowed to squeeze the towel. So this is an interesting halacha. in terms of the Gzeirah Rabbanan of not squeezing a towel is only for one person. But when there are multiple people there, they're to remind each other, the Chachamim didn't make a Gzeirah. Off the top of my head, I cannot think of another area where the Chachamim's Gzeirah is going to make a distinction whether there's one person there or whether there are multiple people over there. So it's a very interesting Gzeirah, and I'm trying to think of precedent off the top of my head. Can't think of a precedent, but but when it comes to the toweling off on Shabbos, the Gemara is very clear, the Mishnah is very clear. The Chachamim's Gzeirah of not using a towel is when you're by yourself. A ton of Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Mistapik Adam Aluntus and Menicha Bechalon. If a person takes a towel, finishes drying himself off with a towel, so he puts it by the window, but he should not be handing it to the bath attendant. Bath attendants back in the day, we already described this earlier, so they are not the most scrupulous of people, and they're not careful in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. We talked about them earlier in the Masechta in terms of if we allow the public baths to be open, so they're going to heat the water up on Shabbos. Okay, we talked about that earlier in the Masechta. Over here, if you give them a wet towel, and you tell them, okay, remember, Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze it, so they're going to squeeze it. And the Braisa says, shouldn't give it over to the ul urin, don't give it to the bath attendant, because they are suspected that they're going to squeeze it. Al oso davar, meaning they're going to squeeze the towel on Shabbos. Oso davar over here, so funny, the Braisa doesn't even want to say it. In other words, they're going to be in violation of shechita, which in this case would be a worst case scenario. Squeezing it out on Shabbos would be a malacha. Now, what malacha is being violated when you're squeezing it out? So we discussed this before, but just quickly to bring up, there are two candidates in terms of which malacha one's going to be violating when they squeeze out the towel. One is going to be that this is libun, meaning this is part of the laundering process. Especially over here, we're talking about water, so this would be an act of libun. The other possibility is that this is dash. When one squeezes the fruit out of an olive or out of a grape, so we already discussed this is a malacha of dash. So when one squeezes water out of the towel, so this also may be the malacha of dash as well. That's another candidate. So there are two potential candidates of which malacha one is violating when squeezing the towel, but it's an isser on Shabbos. And so therefore, don't give the towel over to the bath attendant because he may come to squeeze it out. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mistapik Baluntas Achas Mevia Biado Lesoch Beisom. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that what you're allowed to do is after using the towel, you can bring it home. Now, carrying the towel through a Rishus Rabbim is patently out of the question. And so therefore, how exactly are you going to be transporting it home? So we're going to see the answer to that in just a moment. Amale Abayla Rav Yosef Hilchos Amai. So the Gemara says, now who does the halacha follow over here? Meaning after usage of the towel and whether or not one is allowed to bring it to their house, is that allowed or do you have to keep it in the bath? So Amai Amalu HaRabbi Shimon HaRabbi HaShmuel HaRabbi Yochanan. So basically what we're going to do over here is that we are going to make a collection of the Tanayim who are all of the opinion that what you could do is that you could take the towel home. Now, Rabbi Shimon Hadamara. Now, as far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned, we just saw it in the Braisa, just three or four lines earlier, that Rabbi Shimon allows you to take it home. Again, how one is taking it home, so that's going to be clarified. But Rabbi Shimon allows you to take it home. Rabbi Tanya. Now, as far as Shitas Rabbi is concerned, so the Gemara says the following Braisa. Am Rabbi Kishayin Lamedim Torah Yitzel Rabbi Shimon B'Tekoa. So we were learning by Rabbi Shimon in the town of Tekoa. Hainu Milan Shemen V'Alontus Mechatzel Lagag U'Megag L'Karfav Ad Shehainu Megiim Yitzel Ma'ayan Shehainu Roch Simbo. So what we would do is that we would go from the Chatzer to the Gag, from the Gag to the Karfav, until we would get to the Ma'ayan, over there in the Ma'ayan. So we would rinse ourselves off in the Ma'ayan and we would use the towel. Okay. So over here in this Braisa, two things. One is that we see that Rebbe is in agreement with Rebbe Shimon. Two is we get to remind ourselves about the Shita Rebbe Shimon. Now this should sound familiar. We discussed this back in the 19th parak of Masechta Shabbos, and that is Shita's Rebbe Shimon in terms of carrying through these various outdoor Rishus HaYachid. Chatzer, Gag, Karfaf. So remember, the Chatzer is the courtyard in the front of the house. The Karfaf is basically the enclosed backyard area of the house. Gag is the roof, which generally has an enclosure around it. And according to the Shita Rabbi Shimon, on Shabbos, one can carry from a Chatzer to a Gag, from a Gag to a Karfaf, meaning vis-a-vis Shabbos, all these areas are considered Rishus Achas, it's considered one domain. And Rashi over here points out, even if they're owned by different people, Rabbi Shimon views them all halachically as one kind of domain, and so therefore on Shabbos, you're allowed to carry from a chatzar to a gag, etc., etc. So as long as there is a path to go to, from the chatzar all the way to the Mayan, and you only have to traverse through these outdoor Rishus HaYachid, so it's perfectly okay, it's perfectly legitimate. So that answers our question in terms of how Rabbi Shimon is getting the towel back home. Anyway, but you see over here that Rabbi Shimon, so far we have two Tanaim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi, who give the allowance to take the towel back home. Shmuel Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mestapek Ad Demalontus and Mavia B'Yadol Esoch Beiso. And Shmuel's of this position as well. Shmuel says that she can bring the towel home. And again, we're going to have to add that the way he got home is via the Rishus HaYachid. Certainly, you're not allowed to carry it through Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Yochanan Dam, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Mestapek Ad Demalontus and Mavia B'Yado Lesoch Beiso. And Rabbi Yochanan is of this position as well. So fine, so now we put together two Tanaim, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. We put together also, in addition, two Amoraim, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, all give allowance for a person to take the towel back home with them. Gemara has a problem with this last position of Rabbi Yochanan. Mi'am Rabbi Yochanan hachiv, am Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah v'tanan. Now, meanwhile, we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds like a stam mishnah. The Gemara says this throughout Shas. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says, v'nistapik afilu b'asar lontus lo yivim yado. Our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to bring it home. So, if the halacha, according to Rav Yochanan, follows the Stam Mishnah, our Mishnah does not give allowance to do so, and our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah, so how can Rav Yochanan go against an anonymous Mishnah? So, hahu keben chachinai mafnila. So the Gemara says, okay, when Rav Yochanan happens to be teaching our Mishnah, here at the end of the 22nd parak of Masechet Shabbos, so he does not learn it as an anonymous Mishnah, but rather, he has it as the Shita of ben chachinai. And so therefore for him no longer serves as a Stam Mishnah. And so therefore Rabbi Yochanan can paskin against our Mishnah. Am Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hal Yurim, Mivim Balari Nashim, Lebe Bani Vavachis, Kasabahem, Roshan Veruban. Now Rabbi Chia Bar Abba quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that as far as the bath attendants are concerned, so what they could do is that they could bring the towels of the women over to the bathhouse, as long as they're wearing them. Now, I say towels, maybe they're more like robe-like, whatever the case is. As long as they wear them, so that would be fine. Now, wearing them means that they're going to have to put it over their head and covering the majority of their body. Sachnisa. Now, if it is a sachnisa, now it's some other kind of, call it a robe. Rashi describes it as sudar gadol, shetalo ben ktefav, verosho atufbo. Okay, sounds like some sort of cape. Okay, not totally clear exactly what it looks like, but Tzarech Lekasher Beis Roshel Lamata. So over here, it can be worn, and it needs to be worn in order to go to the bathhouse with it, but it's got to be tied. You got to take the two strings. It must have two drawstrings to it, and it has to be tied underneath. Underneath what? The Gemara is going to clarify. Am Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan Lamata Miktafayim. It has to be tied under the shoulders. Amlu Ravel of Nemechuza, Ki Mavrisu Manil of Nechela, when you're bringing over the clothing to the Bnei Chela. So they had troops, and the obligation was is that you had to feed the troops and you had to clothe the troops. So when you have them, Revivu Behu Lamata Miktafai, make sure that you tie below the shoulders. Fine. So these halachas of ensuring that when you're wearing these kinds of robes, so they have to be worn in a way in which it's typically worn. And with this last article of clothing that's being described, it has to be tied. And so these Amoraim are just making sure that the members of the community know that you wear them and exactly how to wear them in order not to violate the Issur of Hotza on Shabbos. Okay, we're going back to the Mishnah now. We're going to be discussing some of the halachas that were articulated in the Mishnah. Safkin and Mamash Mishnah we're talking about now, rubbing oil into your skin. The Mishnah says you're allowed to do so. You remember earlier in the Masechta we talking about rubbing Shemen Vered. And that was going to be an issue. But that was very expensive, and that oil was only used for therapeutic purposes. Over here, we're just talking about rubbing oil into your skin, which back in the day was a very popular activity. Everyone rubbed oil into their skin. And so the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. The only thing the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to get a massage. Tana Rabbanan Sachna Mamash Mishnah Bevnei Ma'ayim B'Shabbos V'Vavah Shalei Yaseh Kederech Shu Oseh B'Chol. The Mishnah says that one is allowed to rub the oil into their skin, into their stomach, some sort of stomach massage, you cannot do it like you do during the weekday. And here we have an example of uvda dechol, which means to say that if you do it like you do during the week, so that falls under the category of uvda dechol. Now you're doing it as a weekday activity, and the rabbis prohibited it because it's uvda dechol. So hechi avit. So what does that mean to deviate from the way that's done during the week? So the Gemara here is going to give a couple of opinions in terms of how to deviate. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina amar sach ve'achakach memashmesh. So according to Rabbi Chama, first you put the oil and then you rub. Rav Yochanan amar sach memashmesh bevasachas. Rav Yochanan says that you rub and pour the oil simultaneously. And that is a way of doing it differently than you do during the week. According to Rav Yochanan, the way that's done during the week is one after the other. So as long as you're doing it simultaneously, that's enough of a shinui so that it no longer falls under the category of uvda dechol. Avalomet amlin. But to rub it vigorously, like a massage, that's going to be prohibited. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asar la'amod bekarkiyosav, shel diusemes mimnei she'me'ameles u'marape. So one is not allowed to stand in the ground of diumesis. Rashi says, it's the name of a river. And it's very salty, it's a very salty river. And it had a lot of therapeutic benefit. So you're not allowed to stand on Shabbos, it would be an act of refuah. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Kol Yamera Shal Diusemes Esrim Ve'Echad Yom, Ve'Atzeres Min Aminyan. Now, although this salty river has a lot of therapy to it, but specifically 21 days. And it's 21 days sometime around Shavuos. Now, when we say around Shavuos, Yibaylu, Atzeres Lahagisa, Lahagisa. So what does that mean? The 21 days leading up to Shavuos? Or is it 21 days immediately after Shavuos? Tashma Da Amr Shmuel Kula Shakaina. So the Gemara says, well, I know that Shmuel says that when it comes to these therapeutic drinks, so they're good from Pesach until Atzeres. So it sounds like the therapy is good before Shavuos. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's a fair comparison. The Gemara says, that's talking about drinking and imbibing. So it could be over there that you need a cooler condition, meaning springtime. But over here, we're talking about Hevel. Maybe over here you need more intense heat. So even though Shavuos is when it begins, but we're talking about Shavuos and afterwards, meaning basically the summertime. And so the Gemara says, I'm not sure if Shmuel is going to be informing us about our river over here. And maybe the 21 days is Shavuos being day one of the 21 days. And the next 20 days going into the summer. Amr Rabbi Chalbo, Chamar de Purgisa, Umaya de Yusemas, Kipchu Aseres HaShvatim Yisrael. Gemara now is going to be speaking a little bit about Hashkafa. And that is that the wine of Purgisa and this bathing water, this kind of spa water, so literally it cut the Aseres HaShvatim. What does it mean, it cut the Aseres HaShvatim? Rashi writes over here, Shehayu Bali Hana, Vasukim Bekach. So this was luxurious. And it turns out that the Aser HaShvatim really luxuriated themselves with these activities. Rashi writes, "V'lo hayu oskim b'Torah v'yatzu l'tarvas ra." And because they spent so much time at the spa, so they didn't engage in Talmud Torah. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch ikla lahasam. And so now, this Aser HaShvatim is obviously during Bais Rishon. And now the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who is a Tana living hundreds of years later, so he went to the spa. And he almost got trapped by the luxury. Imshich basrayu. And he did get caught up, says the Gemara. I'akir tamudei. And his learning got uprooted, meaning he spent so much time luxuriating in these spas, he forgot a lot of his learning. Ki hada asa kam lemikre besifra, by lemikre. And then, after spending so much time in the spa, forgot so much of his Torah, and now he's trying to read a pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Bo, HaChodesh HaZelachem, Amar Hacheresh Hayalibam, totally butchering the pasuk and chumash, mixing up the resh and the dalid, mixing up the chaf and the beis, and instead of saying Hacheresh Hazelachem, Hacheresh Hayalibam, which if we could translate, means that their heart got stuffed up. They right, he couldn't understand. So obviously symbolic of the condition that he was in right now, where because he spent so much time in luxury, so he forgot a lot of his learning. Var Rabban Rachme Alev Ahadu Talmudei. The Chachamim davened on his behalf, and a lot of his learning was restored behind it dinan. And now, we're going to have a much better time understanding a Mishnah Perkei Avos. In the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Rav Nurai Omer, Hayugol Makam Torah. A person should exile himself to a Makam Torah, Va'al Tomar Shehi Tavo Acharecha, Shechavrecha Yekaimu Biadecha. And don't say, oh, my friends will support me. Va'al Binascha Tishen, and don't rely on your smarts, on your cognitive ability. So that means to say that make sure that you yourself put yourself in a position that you're in a Makam Torah. And don't just simply say, oh, it's okay, I'll live a little bit, and my friends will support me. That's in fact not going to be the case. And now we understand the background to that memra of Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Tana lo Reb Nurai Shmo, ela Reb Nechemya Shmo. Now it's not Reb Nurai, but rather it's Reb Nechemya. V'amila Reb Elazar ben Arach Shmo. And so others are of the opinion of Reb Elazar ben Arach. Now obviously, the Gemara is juxtaposing the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to our story. So obviously, we're working with the assumption that's Reb Elazar ben Arach. Now he was described as Reb Nurai, meaning that's not his name, that was just simply more of a description, because he enlightened people in halacha. Okay, so the Gemara talks about using a Sponge Shabbos from a halachic standpoint, meaning that it's an issue of refuah, and also from a hashkafa standpoint, which is that if you spend too much time in the spa, less time learning, so your learning will really suffer. Avalomit garim. So we're talking now about scraping off the skin. Exfoliation. And the Braisa says that one is not allowed to do so on Shabbos. Now if it happens to be that, let's say you got dirt on your feet, dirt and excrement on your feet, so then of course you're allowed to scrape it off. Meaning that the prohibition of scraping it off, scraping your feet is really a violation of Uvda Dechol. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah and you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi writes this very clearly. Rashi in the Mishnah writes, to take a look back in the Amud Aleph, Rashi, about six lines from the bottom of the Amud, Velom is Garin, and Rashi also has a Girsa of Bim Magreres, meaning using an instrument, Dehave Uvda Dechol. So Rashi describes as Uvda Dechol. There is no Isser with scraping the skin on your body, but it's just simply something that you do during the week. That's going to be very helpful because, first of all, we just learned together one heter, which is that if you have dirt on your feet or if you have excrement on your feet, so now you're allowed to scrape it. Okay, so in other words, the isser at worst is uvda dechol, and under these extenuating circumstances, a chacham or a mekel. Another heter, says the Gemara, which is Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda avdalei imei magarasa de kaspa. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, his mother made for him a silver magarasa, meaning something specific for Shabbos. And since he made one that was specific for Shabbos, so no longer is it going to be a violation of Uvda Dechol. Uvda Dechol is when you're doing it on Shabbos the same way you do during the week. But if you have something special and unique for Shabbos, so this no longer serves as Uvda Dechol. And very interesting, the Gemara is basically saying to us that if something's prohibited because of Uvda Dechol, and you now are doing it with something that's unique and special and designed just for Shabbos, so then it's not going to be a violation of Uvda Dechol. Ein yordim l'kordima, maitame mishum pika. Now, this next line of the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to go into the kordima, so why would that be? So the Gemara says, because pika. The Gemara obviously is not that clear exactly what the issue is. If we take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. So mishum pika, a little bit above where we are, sorry. Rashi says, tishol oso nahar machlik. So it happens to be that when you're walking in such a river, it's really slippery. Uvigdei adam nishorim b'mayim kishu nofel. You're going to for sure slip and fall. And aside from possibly hurting yourself, your clothing is going to get wet. V'asu l'dei tzchita. So basically, you know your clothing is going to get wet under the circumstances, and then you're going to want to squeeze out your clothing, and so therefore one is potentially in violation of tzchita. And we're going to do two more halachas here. At the bottom of the Amud, Mishim ve'ein osin apiktas in v'shabbos, one is not allowed to drink any kind of drink that would induce vomiting, like an epicac. So Amar Rabba Baruchan, Amar Rav Yochanan Loshanu Ela B'sam. So we're talking about ingesting something that would induce vomiting. That's going to be prohibited. Aval b'yad mutter. But if you want to induce vomiting on Shabbos with your finger, so that's going to be mutter. So Tanya Rabbi Nechemya Amar Afichol Aser. Rabbi Nechemya says inducing vomiting, that's going to be aser even during the week. So Mipnei Hefsed Ochlin. Because what you're doing is you're wasting food. Meaning, the reason why you're inducing vomiting is because you want to eat more, but you have no more room in your stomach, so you're going to induce vomiting so that you're going to eat more. But that's hefsed ochlin, similar to baltashkes. And so Rabbi Nechemia says that inducing vomiting during the week is going to be usher. It goes without saying that on Shabbos it's going to be usher, but even during the week as well. Ein matzvin is a katan. Amar Rabba Barbachan Amar Rav Yochanan Lefufa Yenuka B'Shabbos Shaper Dami. To wrap a baby on Shabbos would be fine, meaning even though in that wrap there's going to be some manipulation. Now the Gemara says now that seems to go against our Mishnah. Ba'anan Tanani Ein Ma'atzvin. Now the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. Hasam Bechomrei Shedra Demichse Kabona. So the Gemara says no, that's talking about a manipulation of the spine. Manipulation of the spine, that's very similar to the Malach of Bona. And so therefore, that's what the Mishnah prohibits. But if all you're doing is just swaddling, if you're just simply wrapping up, and there's going to be some manipulation of the joints, that in itself is going to be fine. Now, Rashi writes over here, the last Rashi in the Amud, so Rashi says that we're not talking about a newborn, because Rashi says, remember what we learned not so long ago. Back in Kuchav Tes, Rashi says that for a newborn baby, so there, you are allowed to do manipulation. Remember the Pesukim that we learned together in Yecheskel, which you were not allowed to do, which means contrast that to what you normally are allowed to do on Shabbos. So if it is some, if it's a newborn on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do all kinds of manipulations, that would be fine. Our discussion over here is post-newborn, meaning the baby is at some point after being what's considered a newborn. I guess newborn over here means day of, but post-newborn, so then we're going to make a distinction between general swaddling, which is fine, versus manipulating the spine, which the Gemara prohibits because it's an act of bona. It's like you're building. It's an issur derabanan, but it's like you're building. Okay, and tomorrow we pick it up with Machzirus Hashever. We're going to talk about putting bones back in, putting joints back in. That'll be our the beginning of tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, let's review the Mishnah we started off with. Talks about cooling a pot in a pit, or cooling the water in a river, or warming the water under the sun. And the Mishnah also talks about what happens when your clothes gets drenched on Shabbos. What do you do with that clothing? The Gemara covers what the Chidushim are in the cases regarding putting the water in the pit, in the cases of heating up the water in the sun. There are possible considerations that one could have thought of. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that those considerations are not halachically regarded. And then in terms of when your clothing gets drenched so you can hang them up to dry, the Mishnah says, in a private area, what about the statement of Rav that anytime our sign is going to be Asr, afilu v'chadre chadarim? So the Gemara points out, it's machlokas tanayim. Armish's position is that you're allowed to put it up in a private area. And the Braisa also, the Tanakama, the Braisa says you're allowed to do so as well. But Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Shimon says that it's Asr. And Rav is in agreement with the opinions of Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Shimon. And then as we move to Kuf Mem Zayinim at Aleph, so there are three topics that were discussed before we got to the next Mishnah. One, shaking off your clothing on Shabbos. Now, there was a big chiddush we saw in Rashi, which means that we're just talking about shaking off the dirt from your clothing on Shabbos. Rashi says that is going to be usur if you are makbid, and the Gemara also threw in a couple of other qualifications as well. Tosha says we're not talking about shaking off the dirt off your clothing, but we're talking about shaking off the dew off your clothing. The Gemara's discussion regarding carrying clothing that you're not wearing, you're folding the clothing, it's on your shoulder. That's going to be a malacha d'oraisa if you're carrying it through Rishus HaRabim. And the last topic that we talked about was making a hem. If you're making a permanent hem on Shabbos, that is considered an act of tikkun mana, and it therefore would be usur. Making it just temporarily would be okay. And then we saw the story with Rabbi, and we saw three different versions of the story where he either folded his clothing up over his shoulders, and he was told that either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Kiva says, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's considered an act of carrying. That's not normal wearing. In the third version, he asked the question. The Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph deals with various issues on Shabbos that have to do with refuah. Bathing in hot cave water or bathing in the hot springs of Tveria and using a towel afterwards. So, the Mishnah made a distinction between one person using 10 towels versus 10 people using one towel. And the former is usur, the latter is mutter. The Gemara went on to explain, because where you're one person, no one's there to remind you that you're not to squeeze a towel, but with your 10 people, you're going to remind each other that you cannot squeeze the towel. Bring the towel back home with you. So is that allowed? The Mishnah says it's not allowed. The Gemara put together a string of Tanaim and Amoraim who say that it is, in fact, allowed. And then the Mishnah went through a series of other halachas, rubbing oil into your skin, not getting a massage, not getting a some sort of exfoliation treatment, having your skin scraped on Shabbos, not going down into the Kordima River, not inducing vomiting, not manipulating the child, not returning, not replacing a broken bone, and not replacing a broken joint, but she's simply allowed to run water over that area. The number of issues that were tackled on the Amud Beis of today's daf is that, one, our Mishnah is in agreement with Rabbi Shimon that one is allowed to shower in hot water with when it's natural hot water, like the hot springs of Tveria, and that conforms to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is in agreement with that Shita. Gemar went on to explain the difference between one person using 10 towels, 10 people using one towel. The Gemara discussed the bringing home of the towel, putting together a string of Tanaim and Amoraim, were all of the opinion that you're allowed to bring the towel home. Now, you're only allowed to do this if you are not going to be carrying the towel through Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We talked about going from Chatzar to Gag, which is in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The rubbing and massaging oil, you have to deviate from the way you do it during the week. And the Gemara brings down a couple of Amoraim who explain that what kind of deviation is necessary. Using a particular spa, the Gemara says that one is not allowed to do so because it would be an act of refuah. The Gemara says that it only is a refuah for 21 days, Shavuos being one of those 21 days. The Gemara talks about the Gemara concludes that it's after Shavuos. The Gemara says that luxuriating and basically allowing yourself to have too much pleasure in this world is going to be a problem. It's going to take you away from Torah. The Gemara described Rav Elazar ben Aruch where he got caught up in the life of going to a spa. In fact, he did forget some of his Torah. Happens to be that he had very good friends who helped him out over there. Now we understand the mission of Perek Avos, which quoted Rav Nohorai, but Rav Nohorai is our Rav Elazar ben Aruch. We talked about not scraping. That's an issue of Uvda Dechol. The Gemara says that if you have a scraper that is specific to Shabbos, so then one is allowed to use that on Shabbos. Not going into the Kordima River because you know it's very slick over there. You know you're going to fall in. You know your clothing is going to get saturated. Inducing vomiting. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to induce it with drinking something, but you're allowed to do so with your hand. And Reb Nechemia says you're not allowed to induce vomiting during the week. That's Bal Tashkis. And finally, manipulating a child. The Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan that says that you are allowed to do some sort of manipulation with a child, and the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. But the Gemara says the Mishnah was talking about you manipulating the spine, which is like bona. And Rashi reminds us that with a newborn, so obviously with a newborn, you are in fact allowed to do manipulation. That is as per the Gemara mentioned earlier.